Welcome to episode 40 of Autograph Weekly, Masters of Pronunciation.
You're now tuned into the most entertaining, informative, and downright kick-ass autograph show that has ever existed. Here's Zane Savage with Autograph Weekly.
Welcome, Autograph Addicts. I'm Zane Savage.
I'm Jeremy Daniels.
I'm Ben Martinez.
I'm Mike Kane.
I'm Sydney Walton.
And you're listening to Autograph Weekly, feeding your brain with knowledge and news every week until the Giants and Jets love each other sexually.
Ooh la la.
You guys missed the Mojo Mailbox. We don't have it on the podcast anymore. That's because we have moved it to our new show, AW Extra, which is done before this podcast. You can listen to that live at 4 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time over at youtube.com/autographweekly, or just watch the recorded version over on our YouTube channel. Simple as that. You guys may notice that Stacy is not with us on this episode. That's going to be a recurring thing. He is on a hiatus for a foreseeable future due to work constraints. So he will be working behind the scenes, however. So he's not gone from Autograph Weekly. He's still going to be there. He's going to record some segments for the podcast to be put in post-production. He's just not going to be in the live version. So hopefully we can get something fixed so we can get him back on the show soon. But as it stands now, he's not going to be here, so he's going to be missed. All right, let's start off with the news. Jeremy, what you got?
So Stacy's not gonna be here because of work. That is so lame.
I know, man. Who works?
It's all good though. All right, my news story this week is about soccer, renowned soccer. I don't want to say he's a legend yet, but I'm sure he will be. Cristiano Ronaldo. He goes by Ronaldo, his last name. Basically, he scored 2 goals in a match, and basically says he wasn't happy, or he's not happy. So basically, a Madrid-based paper, Marca it's called, wanted to find out why he wasn't happy, and Ronaldo basically was saying he didn't want to share it with anyone, whatever. So I figure this Madrid based newspaper is going to come to the bottom of this. So basically, which is kind of weird, they took his autograph, an authentic autograph of Ronaldo, and they submitted it to a company called GraphoClick, where they basically look at the autograph and basically come up with a conclusion of how they sign. So the first thing, the signature, his signature is tilted upwards, which indicates his high ambitions and a desire to excel. The C, which he signed for Christian after Ronaldo, which is his capitalization, reveals egocentric traits. Well, I'll make a long story short. This company verified this autograph, and basically they came up with no conclusion why he was not happy. So,
totally useless.
So basically it was a dead issue. They did it for no reason. But and to this day, they still don't know why Ronaldo is not happy. And he says it's not because of money or anything, but I just find it kind of interesting that this Madrid-based newspaper sent an autograph into trying to come up with a reason why, you know.
Poor Ronaldo. You know, they actually do that. This is a legitimate thing. I think they use it in court cases and stuff on handwriting experts. Sometimes they say, well, this person was angry when they wrote this, or this person was happy when they wrote this. So it is a little bit of science to it. It's not like some wacky thing, but it's a little out there. I don't know. It's one of those crazy stories. It's like, really?
He has a big ego, though. So
our planet is dying from global warming. Our planet's dying from global warming, and we're worried about Ronaldo's happiness through a signature. Like, really? Come on. We have better things to do than concentrate on Ronaldo and his happiness through a signature. Anyways, next news story. Go ahead.
Soccer's big in Spain, so I mean.
Yeah, it is. I mean, soccer around the world is like football here in America. I mean, it's huge. So, understandable, but I think our time could be used in a better way. That's all I'm saying. All right, Mikey.
All right. So I have sort of an IP story here. We have an Ecuadorian tourist storming the U.S. Open court in search of an autograph. it seems pretty random, but it was following a match between defending champion Novak Djokovic and
Stan Alesis. What was that
Stan
name again?
Alesis.
Can you tell us that name again? What was the name?
I mean, just two dudes were playing tennis, and this guy stormed the court, and he was caught. And all he was looking for was an autograph. So, you know, I don't see what the big deal is. But, I mean, I remember the whole Monica Seles thing a few years back. with a stabbing, so that was pretty creepy. But he just wanted an autograph. He was dragged down by security, so he didn't get his autograph. But I think the main part of the story is he stormed the court after the match. I mean, it's manners at least. He didn't interrupt the match.
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes to show, if you're IPing, you know, the New York Giants, don't storm the field after an autograph. I think it's pretty... I think it's the moral of the story. Because you may get tackled to the ground and many charges pressed against you.
There
are certain things you don't do when you IP, and I think Mike can attest that that is one of them.
I can.
Streaking on the field naked is another one.
You know, and he could have, you know, had different intentions. He could have stormed the field for a different reason, and afterwards he's like, oh no, I was storming the field to get an autograph. That's why. So
yeah, but I mean, seriously, these two dudes, like, if you're going to storm the tennis match for a tennis player, would it be between, I mean, I'm not a big tennis fan, but do you guys know who these guys are? I mean,
no. Djokovic is probably one of the, he's probably one top name in tennis right now, so.
Oh, wow, see? Wow. Yeah.
Well, tennis, again, I think tennis is bigger in other countries, so.
Yeah. Shows how much I know.
Yeah.
We are tennis illiterate.
I totally am.
All right, Ben.
All right, my story is about also IP stuff. It's from the Toronto International Film Festival, and it's just about IPers in general who are trying to meet just anyone who's there, like Selena Gomez and James Franco. Who are a couple of them. It's basically talking about how over the years, it's pretty much gotten worse and worse. And this year was pretty bad. Like, they keep adding barricades and stuff. And this one person who's been there for 12 years said she would be walking around at night and you'd just meet people on the street about 12 years ago. And now even if they're going one block, they'll take a limo, which is, it's kind of discouraging for IPers. Like, I've been to certain events where they just keep getting worse and worse and worse. And, like, in general, like, repeat events, from my experience, have just been, I don't know, they always increase security nowadays. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, you've been graphing for a while. You graphed when you were a kid. So do you notice a big difference between security back then and security now?
Yeah, just security for anyone famous, I guess, really. Just security just has gone up in general, in my opinion. So, like, when I was a kid, it used to be just, you know, really easy. Like, well, obviously because I was a kid, but just really easy just in general.
Right.
And now it's getting harder and harder for some stuff. Like, they always just seem to increase, like, rules and regulations for what you can and can't do. And I'm just trying to do it just to try and meet people, you know, not, like, you know, touch them and molest them or something, you know.
I hope not, son. Jeez. You know, yeah, that's a theme that I think is recurring, and I think it's going to be more commonplace, that the actual personal aspect of autograph collecting is slowly decreasing. And we talked about digital autographs, and that's a complete separation of person to person contact. I mean, that's all digital, so I think that's the future. As much as I hate it, it's going to be the future. And the tighter they have stuff locked down, the worse it's going to get. So nothing we can really do about it, just reporting the bad news to you guys. All right, Blade.
All right, so keeping with the IP theme we got going, this is about a person who got Steven Tyler's autograph in person. This is on HollywoodAutographNews.com. And he or she says, I just recently fulfilled a dream that I've had for 30 years. The day after the Dallas concert on July 29th, 2012, I waited at Hit Records in Dallas in hopes of meeting Steven Tyler. I waited outside in 108-degree temperatures for 5.5 hours, and it paid off. Not only did he show up, but Brad and Harrison Whitford were right behind him a few minutes later. This person has a 2007 yellow VW Beetle. And they had an extra set of plates and had Steven sign them for me. Then Steven asked where this aero bug was, and I pointed to my car. He asked if he could sign it as well, and of course I said yes and started to cry. Now, I don't know if this was a man or a woman. I'm assuming it was a woman.
You don't know that.
You never know.
You don't know that.
Yeah, I can't assume that.
So not only did I just meet the one person I've wanted to see for the past 30 years, since I was 14, but he wanted to sign my car. I purposely did not take it to the car wash on my way to hunt for Steven because I knew that I would jinx it. Well, I had intentions of him signing my VIP laminate and a couple other items, but when I saw him, everything in my head left. And at that very moment, I did take pictures of him signing everything, and I kept the Sharpie and blah, blah, blah. So they're asking if the value of their car has gone up now, now that Steven Tyler has signed it. And the response from Hollywood Autograph News says basically no. And I, I have to agree with them that I don't think the value is going to increase because Steven Tyler signed your VW Beetle. So.
You know what's interesting? I don't know if the Sharpie, how that would do in the elements, if that would eventually come off. I assume it might.
Right, unless you sprayed it with a sealer or something like that.
Oh, it's true. But. Yeah, it's true if you spray it with a sealer. I didn't think about that.
Can you send a card to PSA to get authenticated?
That would be awesome. But wouldn't spraying it with a sealer kind of be like laminating an autograph? It kind of ruins
true,
it.
True, true.
You know? I've seen laminated autographs. I'm just like, why? Why? It's not the same. So I like that story a lot.
I don't think I would have had him sign the car, though, if he asked. I mean, would you guys, though? I just probably would have just taken out another album and be like, how about you just hit another album for
me? Like, you know, if it depends, because this person sounds like a super fan. And if you're a super fan of somebody, I could see going to that that length to get something awesome signed like that. Like, Tears for Fears, okay? If I had a car entirely decked out for Tears for Fears, had the license plate switched for it, and I met Tears for Fears, I would probably do that. Just because
really?
I'm such a big Tears for Fears fan, yes. Just because I'm such a mega fan that I would say, hey, my car is signed by Tears for Fears. And maybe have them sign some other stuff. And who says they only have to sign one thing? You know, they can sign the albums too.
I guess.
So, yeah, I would definitely do that if it was somebody that I absolutely, like, praised. So, I could see that. All right.
Probably because they know you ain't going to sell it on eBay.
Yeah. Well, selling the car on eBay and signed by Steven Tyler. Signed by Tears for Fears probably wouldn't go for much. my new story has to do with space. I love space. I'm a big advocate of space exploration. And there was Yuri Gagarin, I think is how you pronounce it. He was a Russian astronaut, and he actually died, I believe, in a test run shortly after he went into space. He's one of the rarest signatures you can ever find, and there was one uncovered. A before unknown autograph of the first man in space, Russian cosmonaut Yuri Gagarin, has been found in a hotel in Plovdiv, Bulgaria. I know, guys, we're horrible when it comes to foreign words on here. You can butcher us in the comments. The autograph is an entry in the hotel's guest book made by Gagarin back in 1961, writes a Russian site. It was inadvertently discovered by hotel officers while reviewing the book, says the edition. After his flight in space, Gagarin made many international tours, including in Bulgaria, where he visited several cities, including Plovdiv. I guess that's how you say it. So another Yuri autograph appears. That's big news because, like I said, he's one of the hardest guys to find. You're going to pay thousands upon thousands upon thousands for his signature. And it's just a really cool story. I love rare autographs. I think it's really interesting when people just stumble upon them, going through a guest book or something like that. So you guys got any thoughts on that?
No, but this is Ethnicity Week on Autograph Weekly.
Yeah, I know, guys. Yeah, like I said, you can rip us because when it comes to the foreign names, we butcher them. We don't prep the foreign names, which we should. We should start doing that, just so we don't offend our international viewers.
And so, Martinez is easy to pronounce. So.
Yes, it is. And the keyword is NASA, which is kind of ironic because he didn't fly for NASA. He was actually flying for the cosmonauts. But the keyword is NASA. All right, Jeremy, what is the web deal of the week?
All right, the web deal of the week is a pretty good one. It is coming from professional wrestler Diamond Dallas Page, DDP. If you go to his website, DDP Yoga, that is DDPYoga.com, click on stores. There's a tab up top for stores. Click on that. Then photos. He has about six or seven signed photos here that you could choose from. They're $15 a piece, and there's some badass ones here. There's one with him and Goldberg face-to-face. And actually, there's one with him and Kevin Nash. Excuse me, if you're going to meet Kevin Nash in person sometime, you get this signed by Diamond Dallas Page, and he's got like Kevin Nash in a chokehold, so which would probably make a good dual sign. But there's more here. when he wrestled with WWE. So there's a good selection. And it's
you guys know,
bucks, which is a good deal.
You guys know how we love our dual signed autographs. It just makes us salivate. And that would be a cool one, the Kevin Nash and DDP. WCW was big back in the day. I was actually a WCW guy. Looking back, I wish I was a WWF guy because I realized how cheesy WCW was back then. But, that's a really cool autograph, guys. $15. Go get a DDP autograph. Again, the website is ddpyoga.com. Time for the AW Hot List, where we run down the hottest signers TTM this week. Number three, we got Alan Alda. Really good signer, surprisingly. Pretty big star. He is signing one item, but if you ask for book plates or send book plates, he'll replace those with his own. Sometimes he'll send you two book plates. But a lot of people have been getting him back. So Alan Alda is number three. Ozzy Osbourne, number two. And you're like, Ozzy Osbourne signs TTM? Well, he won't sign your item, but he will sign his pre-signed item. Not pre-print, not auto-penned, pre-signed. That means he just goes through, signs a whole stack of photos, and they just send one out to each fan. They are authentic. There's been some question. People don't know when they get them in. They think they're pre-prints. If you get an Osbourne back, it's a, I think, like 5x7 size. Not exactly 5x7, but around that size. If you get that back from Osbourne, it is authentic. It's just pre-signed, so he signs them in stacks and just sends them out. So Ozzy Osbourne, send to him while you can, because you never know. That could stop any day. And number one, Larry King. This address is over at writeastar.com. Larry King is signing again. He stopped signing for a few months, and looks like he's back at it. So get him while you can. He is, wait for it, a television legend.
Legend.
So go pick him up while you can. All right, guys, time for Mr. Sydney's segment called Pickin' Pays Off.
All right, guys. First, I will go over what I picked up this week. On Tuesday, I went back to the used bookstore that I did the storefront window mural for, and I used up the rest of my credit, plus I brought some other books and traded them in for credit. And again, searching through those boxes in the back that they had, I went through the rest of them, and I found four really good signed books. First one is a signed Eyes of Texas travel guide by Ray Miller. He was a television journalist and the former host of The Eyes of Texas, a TV anthology series from 1969 to 1999. He did die in 2008. And the second thing I picked up was a signed 1977 exhibition catalog of works by famed sculptor Una Hanbury, signed and dated twice. And her works are in more than 500 public and private collections around the world, including the Kennedy Center and the Smithsonian.
I want to interrupt you real fast. It always interests me why somebody gets something signed twice. Did they forget that they had it signed? Did they want it signed twice? I've actually seen items signed three times before.
Well, in this case, the catalog itself was signed and dated and inscribed to somebody, and there was also like a price list little pamphlet put inside, and that was signed and dated. So it was actually two separate things, but both related to the exhibition.
Gotcha.
And Una Hanbury died in 1990 at 85. The third item I picked up was a signed novel called Hanger Stout Awake by noted author and professor Jack Matthews, who is also incidentally a rare book collector, so we kind of got that same thing going on there. It's kind of cool. And the last thing, a book called The Gospel in Gotham, signed by one of the most influential figures among Churches of Christ in the 20th century, Burton Kaufman, a famed minister. And he died in 2006 at 101 years old.
Jeez.
So some nice pickups there. And I'm going to go over today a little how-to thing. This time I'm going to talk about CDs and records. Basically, for records, those are those black vinyl circles that when you put a needle on it, it plays music.
Big CDs for the young folks.
For you guys
CDs
that don't know, when you go into thrift stores, especially the ones that have a lot of them, you're more than likely going to find a signed record in there. And you're most likely going to find country music signed albums. For some reason, they're really good signers. I myself have found albums signed by John Raitt, Roy Clark, the Statler Brothers, Hank Thompson, Jim Reeves, and Ricky Skaggs, just to name a few. But just make sure when you're looking, flipping through, that you don't just look at the front, look at the back too. Because that's how I found Jim Reeves, which is actually a pretty rare signature. He signed him a black ballpoint pen on the back of this record that he put out. I also found a Hank Thompson like that as well. So just make sure to always check the backs too as you're flipping through.
You know, I'm going to interrupt you real fast. I think one of the reasons that country music stars are more prevalent when you're picking, when you find their autograph, they do a lot more fairs and stuff in local towns, and it's a lot easier to go up to somebody and get their autograph at an event like that compared to, like, Aerosmith, who's performing in Chicago and has thousands and thousands of people at the venue. Obviously, it's going to be harder to get access to that autograph. So if it's at a little, you know, fair at a hometown, and usually you get some pretty big stars coming to these fairs. So I think that's one of the main reasons you see that, especially where me and you live, Sid. We live kind of in the Midwest, out in the middle of nowhere, and it's kind of a big deal whenever these country singers come to fairs and perform. And I think that's one of the main reasons you see a lot of country music autographs, especially in the Midwest. On the coasts, it may be a little bit different, but in the Midwest, I see them too. They're very prevalent.
That's true. A lot of, especially like the Oklahoma State Fair in Oklahoma City, they have a lot of big names. Like, I think this year they're going to have Marty Stewart and Ricky Skaggs.
Right.
And they also do a lot of fan fest appearances too, where they gather a bunch of, well, they used to in the day anyway. I don't know if they still do. They gather a bunch of country music stars together in one place, and they'd sign for people.
And they're probably a little more humble than the rock stars, so they're probably a little bit easier to get because of that too. But
that is true.
Yep.
And for CDs, when you're going through your CDs, if you don't just look at the front. Also, open up the CD and look inside. Now, I know a lot of the thrift stores are going to have them taped up because they don't want people opening them up. Just take the CD out and put it in their pocket and walk out. But if you bring a little razor blade or something, then that's no problem. That's
what you Who steals CDs? If you're going to steal, just
I'm not. I'm not. You know, saying that that's okay or anything. But you know, it is what it is.
Right.
But if you can open the CD up, because a lot of times people are going to sign the inside. I found CDs signed by Tommy Cash, brother of Johnny Cash, Peter Nooney of Herman's Hermits, REO Speedwagon, Sonic Flood, Rocket to the Crypt, country music legend Mo Bandy, a couple Christian legends, Gary Chapman and Susan Ashton. But like I said, you got to open it up because Tommy Cash and Peter Nooney, they were both signed on the inside.
Right.
And if I just looked at the front and just said, hey, well, this isn't signed and kept going, I never would have had it. So make sure you open them up because sometimes they sign the inside of the liner notes or they'll sign the CD itself.
And I'm going to bring this up. I try to bring it up every time you're talking about something, Sid. Whenever you're picking, especially in a public place, you're going to look a little bit insane. You're going to have to accept that people are going to look at you like, what the heck's that guy doing over there? Sitting Indian style, going through records and CDs, open them up, or books. You know, it's a weird sight for other people to see, but you kind of have to ignore the other people and go about your business to get it done. You know, you're not going to get lucky every single time you open a book, so it takes time. And we talked about this last time you were on, last week, I think.
Exactly.
But you're going to look a little bit crazy doing it, so keep that in mind.
Keep your eyes on the prize.
Keep your eyes on the prize.
I mean, I can't tell you how many times people have walked by as I'm opening up CDs and closing them, opening and closing them, and they're like, what are you doing? And I just give them a dirty look back and keep doing what I'm doing. You know, if you want to find the autograph, you just got to ignore other people, keep doing what you're doing. So,
cool.
And also, check your used CD stores, too. Like, we have a store here in Kansas, in Oklahoma, called CD Trade Post. A lot of times, they don't care if it's signed or not. They're not going to take the time to authenticate it and put it out for more money.
Right.
They're just going to put it in the bin for the same price as if it came in unsigned.
Right.
So at CD Trade Post, that's where I found REO Speedwagon.
Right.
So you just got to
A lot of those people, like you said, they don't care if it's signed or not, so they're not going to charge you any extra. They're just going to charge to get the CD out the door. You'll find that with a lot of bookstores, too. A lot of people don't know what they have. They don't care about the autograph. We always talk about there's autograph collectors and there's non-autograph collectors. People that care about autographs and understand why they are worth money, and people that have no idea idea why they're worth money and think people that do like autographs are crazy. So you got those two subsets of people. If you get a dealer of CDs or books in that category of not caring, that could be a good thing, because you can just walk in and say, hey, you got any signed CDs? Hey, you got any signed books? And they may say, yeah, come over here. The price normally, or there may be a couple bucks more, but you know you're still getting a good deal if you buy it.
Exactly.
So, all right, cool. Thanks for that, Sid. Really like having Sid on to explain the picking side of autographs to a new kind of side of the hobby that we haven't touched on much in previous shows. This episode of Autograph Weekly is brought to you by Rackers.com. That's RACKRS.com. Rackers produces custom trading cards for baseball, basketball, football, hockey, wrestling, and even movie cards. These sleek, matte finished trading cards have been created for the autograph collector by the autograph collector. Whether you write TTM or Graph IP, Rackers are the perfect upgrade from those boring index cards. For IPers, be prepared for any celebrity you may run into. Purchase a pack of Rackers cards and use the promo code AUTOGRAPHWEEKLY, one word, AUTOGRAPHWEEKLY, to receive a free sample pack with purchase. That's Rackers.com, RACKRS.com. Let's move on to TTM of the week. Last week, we had Michael Macholtz with the Stan Musial TTM return, going up against Boston Sports Fan 91 with a Kevin Costner return, and the winner is Stan Musial, 67%. To Boston Sports Fans, Kevin Costner, 33%. So congratulations, Michael Macholtz, for winning TTM of the week. And this week, we have Adam Ultimus with a Steven Root signed red swingline stapler. And you're like, what the heck is that? Well, if you've seen Office Space, you know who Milton is. Milton has his... Have you seen my stapler? He has his red stapler. Say what, Jeremy?
Have you seen my stapler?
That guy. So he sent it off to Steven Root, who played Milton, and actually got the red swing line stapler signed by Milton TTM, which is awesome. He's going up against Eric Larson, who got Willie Nelson TTM. By the way, that is a Rising Star success, RisingStar.com. So that is your choice for this week. Jeremy, who's going up for a graph of the week?
All right, we have Robert Dorfman. This is last week. Robert Dorfman with a Jay-Z signed book he got for $2. Going up against Everybody Loves Autos with an Olivia Munn for $9. And the winner was Robert Dorfman with the Jay-Z signed book, 79% to 21%. I thought it was going to be a little bit closer than that, but
I did too.
I know the Jay-Z book is kind of rare to
get. Yeah, it's extremely rare. Yeah. It's like a $250 book for $2, so yeah. I understood why it won.
Yeah. All right, this week we do have Russell Lee with another IP from Molly Ringwald.
And before you go on from that, he actually got Molly Ringwald IP at a book signing, but what this is referring to, he got her after the book signing when she was going out to her car, I believe on a poster for free. And she said, let's move over to the corner so nobody sees this sign. Because celebrities, once they start signing something, they usually get a mob of people asking for autographs. So she signed over in the corner and signed a poster for free. So that's what we're referring to on that. Go ahead.
All right, and Russell Lee with Molly Ringwald, and going up against Curtis Howson with a Wilt Chamberlain signed book picked up for $5.
Wilt Chamberlain for $5. That is crazy. Guys, go vote for TTM and Graph of the Week over at AutographWeekly.com. It's on our homepage. It's on the right. You can't miss it. It's on the front page. And if you remember last week, we actually had Autograph of the Month up for grabs. Somebody forgot to post it. That somebody is Zane Savage, so I apologize. That poll will be up this week. And just to remind you guys, the people going up for Graph of the Month for August are TTM Central with the John Bernthal TTM, Kyle Val with a Vince McMahon IP, Michael Macholtz with an Adam West TTM, Kelvin ML with a George Carlin signed book for 50 cents, Eric Larson with a Rod Stewart TTM, TTM Central with a David Duchovny IP, Ronnie Vernalyn with a Michael Douglas TTM, and Top Shelf TTMs with a Cal Ripken game-used signed ball for $1 at a thrift store. So guys, go vote for that too. You got four polls to vote for this week, so get your vote on. All right, time for the voicemail feedback. We actually have three voicemails to go through today. Here's the first one.
What's up, Autograph Weekly? It's Boston Sports Fan 91. What's up, guys? Just one quick question. Recently, there's been a lack of videos on YouTube with the TTMs, maybe because it's the summer, maybe because TTMs are dying down a little bit. My question to you is, do you think TTMs are becoming more and more rare because more and more people just send in letters to send. But I've been talking to a lot of people on YouTube, and they've admitted to me, a lot of them just send to send. They don't really know who they send it to. All they know is they're going to get success back. Do you think this is affecting the hobby? Guys, as always, thanks for your time. Love the podcast.
I've noticed a little dip in YouTube videos. I think it's because it's fall, and a lot of people have a lot of stuff to do during fall. So you're going to see a natural decline in videos. We try not to talk a lot about YouTube here, because this is mostly about collecting in general. But I think, yes, the internet has hurt the hobby. We've talked about this before. I think we had a segment on internet hurting the autograph hobby. Just because it's so easy to do, and some people see it as a way to get free things. They don't see it as a way to get autographs and collect autographs. They say, hey, I have a chance to get something free. They see it as the same as maybe an offer to get a free bag of tea from Nestle. Like, it's put under the same category for them. So that definitely does hurt the hobby. The people in the YouTube community, I think, for the most part, are good about that. They don't go that way. They're true collectors. Yes, sometimes you can get obsessed with numbers. And, oh, I only got one TTM this week. I need to boost my numbers. As long as you're writing to people you respect, and as long as you do your research, if you do not know a lot about a person, do your research. I think that's very important, and I think a lot of people follow that. I don't think that has anything to do with the YouTube video decline. You know, we had a booming first year for the TTM community on YouTube, and you know, usually the second year it may dwindle a little bit, but we still have people coming into the YouTube community that are brand new, and we need to keep that excitement up. So I don't want to go on about YouTube too much.
Well, it seems like a two-part question here. The YouTube video decline, I think, you know, like you said, it's fall, people go back to school. You know, I mean, a lot of people on YouTube.
People go work on Sundays.
Yeah, and I mean, and TTMs have slowed off. Okay, I mean, and I've made maybe one video this week. So, but as of hurting a hobby, I don't think TTMers are hurting a hobby. I talked to a Boston Sports Fan about this. His name's Chris. Nothing against you, Mike, but I think IPers I know you don't sell on eBay, Mike, but I think the IPers that do sell on eBay that hound these celebrities hurt the hobby more than the people sending TTMs. Because the TTMs, when a celebrity gets it, they're not rushed to sign it. They could hold it on to it for 2, 3, 4 months. You know, they'll get to it when they get to it, so they don't feel rushed that they have to sign for this person right away. They'll sign, but it's just going to take time. Right. And these IPers that sell the eBay, or IP eBayers, I call them, they are the ones that are pushing these people to the limits and, you know, getting them all pissed off and stuff. And I think that hurts the hobby more than us just sending TTMs out
to. And they tend to be a lot more rude than a normal IPer, because it's affecting, that's what they're doing for a living. So that's affecting their bottom line of what they're bringing in. You know, it's affecting their bread money, if you will. So they're willing to be more angry. And
those rude eBayers, IP eBayers, are actually hurting the other IPers like Mike that are trying to get autographs for their collection.
Yeah, and we hear Mike talk about that all the time, you know, how he hears the word eBay in 50% of the conversations he talks to a celebrity now. They bring up the word eBay. Oh, you're just going to sell this on eBay. It makes it a lot harder for Mike to actually go out and get stuff for his collection.
Totally.
So you never hear a celebrity saying, oh, you sent me so many requests through the mail. You know,
right. Well, actually, I did once. Mr.
No,
Red
I mean,
Shady.
Honestly, as far as this goes, I've even heard, like, when I do baseball teams, I've seen kids go up to some of the players and say, you know, because, you know, some players will only sign one card each because they're in a rush, but a kid's trying to do a few sets. If I send this in the mail, will you do it? And he goes, yep, I always do my mail. There's a lot of players that do that. In my opinion, I don't think TTM, you know, is making a dent in the, you know, souring of celebrities.
Right.
It's the guys that are chasing after people night and day, you know, because they need 20 things signed because it's $50 a pop and it's their job.
Right.
Like, that's what's making a dent. It's the invasion of privacy. It's not the sending a letter, you know.
And, you know, we've talked about IP eBayers before and how, oh, man, they're ruining the hobby. But without them, we wouldn't have websites that we buy from. And we wouldn't, like, collectors like me who are stuck in the Midwest, I wouldn't be able to get those big-name guys that are certified and I know they're real without those IP eBayers. So it's a love-hate relationship. More hate than love, but there is an aspect of it that a lot of us actually need as collectors, because we wouldn't have... Well, I would gladly give it up if, you know, we didn't have any IP eBayers. I would say, okay, that's fine as long as the hobby survives and thrives and doesn't die from it. If the hobby's dead, then obviously nobody's winning. So it's one of those weird subjects, and if you're an IP eBayer, be polite. Be polite. These people don't have to sign for you. It's not an obligation. Be polite. That's all I'm going to say on the subject. We kind of got off on a tangent. It's not really what you asked, Boston sports fan, but I think you're right. That is more corrosive than TTMing, because TTMing allows them to do it on their time. Unless you write a really rude letter, I guess that would be.
But then they ain't going to respond to you.
They just throw it away. It back, yeah. So, yeah, it's not in your face. So, yep. All right, next question.
Hey guys, Max TTM Hog 15 on YouTube. I just wanted to ask, how much do you guys spend on stamps in a year? Or just regular postage? I'd love to know, considering how many returns you guys get. I don't usually get that many, maybe because I don't use enough stamps. All right, just wondering, guys, keep on pulling them in.
Okay, first off, don't feel bad because you're not getting enough TTMs. I've heard a lot lately from people who are worried, especially when they're on YouTube, I'm not making enough YouTube videos because I don't get enough TTMs. Don't worry about that. Send off to who you like. We do this because we really enjoy the excitement of the hobby. And I know a lot of people. I'm a fan of a lot of people. I have respect for a lot of people. And it makes me excited when I get people's autographs. If you don't have that broad of a range, which is fine, don't feel bad because you're not sending off to everybody in the world. It's not a big deal. On stamps. How much do we spend on stamps? A lot of money. I'm trying to think. You guys got an answer for that right off the bat?
Yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead, Ben.
Oh, okay. I spend about $600. I try to send about 50 TTM, so that's like $45. You know, you can all do the math there.
Right. I'd probably be at 800 a year, maybe 1,000. I've only been TTMing for about 2 years now since I stopped. I mean, I TTMed pretty much all through high school. But I stopped after when I went to college, and I started up again about 2 years ago. I probably spent about $1,000 a year, which is a lot. But yeah, for my collection, I look around at my collection. I'm like, holy shit, dude! Like, this is awesome. This is worth a ton more than $1,000. So I'm really happy with what I've got back for my money. Put it that way.
Yeah, and I'm kind of the same boat as you. You know, about $1,000 for the year, that equals, average it out, about 2 books of stamps a week. So every time, you know, I go to post office at least 1 day a week, I always pick up a couple books. So, and like I said, it could be a little bit more, it could be a little bit less. You know, with projects, I'm going to send a little bit more out, so I might get 3 books for the week. So,
I always say that this is the best daily hobby you could get into, because every day is like Christmas at the mailbox. Mm-hmm. And that aspect of it alone makes it worth $1,000 a year. I mean, think about it. If you were into cars, for example, how much would you spend on fixing up a car? Okay, a lot more than $1,000. $1,000 for a hobby a year is nothing if you're really into that hobby. So I'm not saying for the kids, go spend $1,000 a year on TTMs. That's absolutely not what I'm saying. Actually, don't do that. Send to people you enjoy. The quantity is not as important as the quality. Write good letters. And as long as you're having fun in this hobby, that's the main thing. This isn't supposed to be some competition, although we do have friendly competitions on Autograph Weekly, but this isn't some competition between YouTubers or people in Facebook forums. This is supposed to be fun, and that's the main goal of this hobby, is to have fun. So however you collect, as long as you're having fun, I have no problem with it, as long as you're not killing the hobby, IP eBayers. All right, last question.
Hi, guys. This is Ryan Patrick. I love the podcast. It's reignited my passion for this hobby, so thank you. My question is regarding YouTube. I'm toying with the idea of doing TTM videos, but I just don't receive the volume of TTMs that most of the YouTubers do. So is it still worth doing, is my question. What are the advantages and the disadvantages of it? What are the do's and don'ts of TTM videos on YouTube? Thanks in advance for your input, and keep up the great work.
All right, this kind of goes along with our first question, talking about YouTube. I think YouTube brings a lot to a collector when they join YouTube. The main thing is community. We talked about this on one of our first podcasts. Joining a community on the internet of people who do the same thing as you can really help you as a collector, especially with tips and tricks. If you get into a problem, they can usually help you out. Whether it's YouTube or Star Tiger or some forum, it's a great thing to be part of a community. I think that's the main thing. Whenever you make YouTube videos, it really brings validity to you in the community. It kind of gives people a chance to get to know you, and people feel a lot more comfortable with you rather than you just being a random username. When you can match up a face or even a voice, if you're just showing off what you got, with a person, you're more likely to get a lot better quality tips, a lot better quality advice, some great trades. You can really boost your collection through trades. I say absolutely join YouTube. Don't worry about how many things you get in, like we said before. People get in different amounts. I kind of consider us super collectors. You don't need to be on a super collector level where you're getting in 20 TTMs a week. You don't need to do that. That's not necessary to entertain. If you're on YouTube, talk about your collection. Talk about what you've got before. Talk about what you know and what you've learned in the hobby. And you're helping out other people, which gives you a good feeling that you're helping out other people. You guys got any opinion on this? I think everybody's with us on definitely join YouTube. Or if you don't join YouTube, if you don't like being on video, join some kind of community. I think it's always a positive.
Well, as long as you join it, and just remember the positive aspects of it, because it's like you said, you know, the trading, finding out who's signing right now and who's not. But just don't get caught up in the competition aspect of it.
Right. Well, and there are negatives to YouTube, and there are trolls and stuff that try to get you off track. You can't be dissuaded by them. I've been dissuaded by them on YouTube, definitely. If you go watch my YouTube videos, they have a lot of dislikes because of stuff that people have got me tripped up on before. People know how to push buttons on YouTube, so you got to put that stuff aside. If you're just making mail day videos to start out with, you don't have to worry about any of that stuff. It's when you become kind of up there in the subscribers, people start trying to trip you up. Ignore that stuff. It's easy to ignore. I say that, and I got tripped up in it, but it's pretty easy to ignore if you just put it in the back of your mind. Say, okay, people are going to be people. Let's concentrate on the positives of this hobby. Let's concentrate on the positive aspects of YouTube and enjoy it and have fun.
There's definitely more positives than negatives on YouTube. And actually in chat, Kevin Wallace basically says it can really help you with who to send to, as Sid just explained, which it does. I mean, I joined just because I wanted to show my class. Actually, I wanted to connect with people, get a network going, and it has. I mean, you make daily videos. I mean, you don't have to. I'm not saying to go out and do it, but if you want to show your collection off, what you got, and you're proud of your collection, make a YouTube video. Show, hey, this is what I got over the years. Then if you do TTMs, I mean, you don't have to do it every day like we do. I know some of us don't, which is cool, but, you know, it's a good way to connect with people, who to write to. I mean, like I said, there's some negatives, but the positives outweigh the negatives when it comes to YouTube.
I'm subscribed to guys who do recap videos every 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. I'm fine with that.
Me.
Yeah, like Sid. Well, you do it every week, pretty much. But, you know, if you do recap videos, that's fine. People still like recap videos. Yeah. So, you know, everybody...
Sid shows off his picking, too, you know, so that's what he enjoys doing. And, you know, he incorporates it into his TTM videos, too. So, I mean...
It's a healthy thing to communicate with other people, and especially to add the video aspect and voice aspect. It's a really good thing to interact with people doing what you love. Because there may not be people around you that do the same thing as you, or if they do, they're not voiced. They don't voice their opinion. So it's hard to kind of, unless you live in a big city, obviously you have conventions and stuff where you can meet people. But for a lot of us, we're spread out across the United States in random places. And it's good to connect with people that do the same thing as you. So that's what I have to say about that. Anybody got anything else to add?
I agree with, go ahead.
No, you can go.
Okay. I agree with everything you guys said, and even with stuff without autographs. Like, these guys are my friends, like my legitimate friends. Like, I talk to Jeremy pretty much daily. Mm-hmm. Or semi-daily, and I'm actually meeting Jeremy, like, in October, so so I just view it as, like, a way to connect with people just in general, besides autographs, too, because obviously people are people besides autographs.
Look at it as a reverse AA meeting. instead of declining our habit, we're increasing our habit. We're increasing our addiction. And once we get together, our excitement just comes out that much more. And I think that's whenever people like Ryan say that our stuff has excited their passion for collecting, I think that's a lot to do with it. You know, when you realize there's other people out there like you obsessed with autographs, there's something about autographs that makes you excited. You realize there's other people like you. It's a good thing, and it reinforces your excitement for the hobby. And whenever somebody gets excited about something, anything, any hobby, I think that's a good thing. All right, yeah. Let's go ahead.
Zane, yeah. I actually was on, I've been on the fence for a while about it. I don't do any videos of any kind.
Right.
And after kind of watching everybody else's, I figured I might give it a shot, even though I just hate seeing myself. I'm sure a lot of you guys do. Maybe you don't.
Well, but, you know, in that case, if you don't want to be on camera, you could easily do the show the autograph in front of the camera trick, which a lot of people do. A lot of people don't like to show their faces, or they eventually do. They have to work up to it. You get, you know, used to being on the back end of the camera, not the front end, and you just show the autographs in front of the camera. So that's a way to do it. If you don't want to be on camera right off the bat, you don't have to be. You can be one of those guys that just shows the autograph, and it's all about the autograph, and people get used to you, they like you, they subscribe, and maybe you get comfortable enough to be on camera eventually. So, you know, you can do it however you want, and as long as you're putting content out there and making contacts in the community, it's a positive thing. Go ahead. I interrupted you.
No, totally. I just, you know, because with me, it obviously wouldn't be every week, but I think it's a good thing, and it's a real good point of reference, even for, you know, IPers. There's people that do videos just, you know, from IPing, and it's helped me out, whether it be celebrities' habits or whatnot. So I'm probably going to start it. We'll see.
I really feel like IPing is kind of the next sub community to grow out of TTMing. We haven't seen a lot of IP videos. There are some out there, but there's not a big community like there is TTM. And I think that is the next big thing to grow out of TTMing. Because the TTMing kind of grew out of the card community. There are some people that switched over that were big in the card community that started doing a lot of TTMs. And like me and Mike at the Autograph Network started making videos almost daily. And that kind of grew into this big community that we now have. And like I said, IP, I think, is the next big thing. All right, let's move on to the Facebook feedback. Michael Macholtz asks, he's got two questions for the podcast. First one's, how do you get a secretarial or wrong personalization off of a photo? So I do this every once in a while, especially on secretarials. Yeah, you could throw away the photo, but why not just take the inscription off and save it for later if you meet that person or can get them legitimately via venue. What I actually use Axe body spray. Some people use rubbing alcohol, which is way too corrosive on the photo, and a lot of times it'll actually rub off the ink. But I use Axe body spray because it's kind of watered down alcohol, and it takes stuff right off. I use Axe body spray and actually bathroom tissue, toilet paper. So that takes stuff right off usually.
I can tell you what I use.
Go ahead.
Not to interrupt you. If it's a glossy photo, I use a dry erase marker.
Right.
And all you do is just sort of write over the autograph, and then just it wipes right off with the eraser. So
there's a video showing that, and it's quite amazing how that works. Like, it kind of blows your mind at first. You're like, wow, that really works. So that is another choice. There are erasers. They have special erasers that actually take stuff off. I forgot the name of them.
Speaking of erasers, I got a. It's called a Pentel Click Eraser. It's just a regular eraser, and you know they're about $2 a piece, and it's one of those. Looks like a pen, but it has like a long eraser inside. So,
right.
I mean, it lasts a long time, and that works great. I haven't had any issues with it. So,
the only thing with alcohol, the one thing you could run into, like I said, is taking the actual ink off the photo. I have had that happen a little bit sometimes, like maybe 1 out of 10 times with the Axe body spray. So that is a risk you run. I've never actually used the eraser. I've never actually done the dry erase marker trick. So those are some ways you can do that. So you got some variation to pick from. Like I said, you're risking it with alcohol. Does the dry erase work? Can you tell at all that the autograph was there?
No. I mean, it has to be on a glossy photo, though.
Right.
If
it's right. Like a matte finish, you're pretty much screwed anyway.
If it's glossy, it works fine.
If it's matte finish, guys, you're probably screwed anyway. So yeah, we need to reiterate, this is all on glossy photos. You're not going to get it out of a matte finish photo. I've tried once, and it failed miserably. So I'm assuming most map finishes are the same way. Next question from Michael Macholtz. Have any of you went to Disney or any other amusement park and got autographs from characters in your adult life? No.
No.
I mean, I have. I've gotten Goofy once. He was tough. And he personalized everything, but I got him.
So. He didn't want you to sell it on eBay.
No, he was tough. He was tough, but I got him.
That's great. All right, next question. Coming from Michael Becker. What method do you use to make glossy cards, trading cards, more signable? I've read about various methods, scuffing the card surface with an eraser, using talc, etc. But I wanted to see which methods you guys have had success with. I use baby powder. It's worked like a charm for me. We've talked a little bit about this. We've hit most of these subjects on the podcast, but we haven't really gone into depth. Actually, it was just the tip segment we did the baby powder 1 week. But I add baby powder. Make sure you get all the baby powder off once you cover the card, because nothing's worse than a trading card in an envelope sent to a celebrity covered in white dust. You're not going to want that, because you're going to have the freaking Homeland Security at your house ASAP. So make sure you get all the baby powder off. That's what I use. I don't use talc. I don't use the eraser method. The eraser method, I think, is kind of useless now that the baby powder works so well. I think that came along after the eraser method, just because the eraser method is so tedious. You have to get every spot on the card. What do you guys use?
Talcum for me, or not talcum, baby powder, because the talcum in the baby powder gets the gloss off.
Right, it's pretty much the same thing. Yeah,
I don't send.
you don't prep cards. No. By the way, it's called prepping cards. If you guys don't know, it's when you take a glossy card and you add something or erase it to make it signable. Because if somebody signs a glossy card as is, it's usually going to bubble. It's going to smear. It's not going to be a good outcome. So this is a way for the autographs to stick on the card. Go ahead, Mike. You were talking.
Yeah, baby powder, 100%.
Yeah, baby powder, I think, is the best way to go. So
I pretty much. Well, I'm sorry, I got to be different. I use the eraser. Of course, I don't do the volume you guys do, but I just get out a pencil and I use an eraser on the card, and I've never had a problem. So
really, okay. Yeah. So do you do the back too? Because I've had people sign the back before, and I didn't prep that.
Like on a custom card, you know, I'll fill out the back for them, but then they have no alternative but to write on the front.
Right.
But I haven't had a problem with a celebrity filling out the back.
Well, I did the Donruss Americana set for a while, and I had a big problem with, I would prep the front and then they would sign the back and it would bubble, and I'm like, no, I didn't prep the back. So always prep both sides of the cards, guys, if you're sending off. This episode of Autograph Weekly is brought to you by Star Tiger. When it comes to collecting autographs, Star Tiger is the number one tool you need in your belt. With almost 400,000 addresses and hundreds of daily updates, Star Tiger is easily the best address source available. But it provides much more, including real-time return stats, over 400,000 autograph scans, and a great community to help you along the way. Plans start at $5 a month to $35 a year. If you sign up today, use the link startiger.autographweekly.com. That's startiger.autographweekly.com to help out the show. That's startiger.autographweekly.com. All right, time for the Kane Chronicles, where Michael Kane tells us about a special experience he had on the IP trail. Go ahead, Michael.
All right, I did have a special experience. Last week on the podcast, I talked about the TPC Boston Golf Tournament and how successful I was, but I didn't get one autograph. And who was it that I didn't get? Anybody remember?
Tiger Woods.
So Monday morning, the job I work at happened to be connected to the same hotel that the golfers were staying at. Right, so that's convenient. So before work, I head on down there, and I wanted to get Rory McIlroy one more time on a nice big Sports Illustrated photo, which is now framed right in front of me. And so I heard Tiger's not at that hotel, didn't have anything for Tiger, and I'm standing there, and this dude walks out at me with the red shirt and the stupid black Nike hat, and I go, wow, that guy looks just like Tiger Woods. Like, what a goofball. And then, like, he had his clubs, and I'm like, oh, this is great. He has his clubs and everything. I'm like, I'm going to make fun of this guy when he gets close to me. And finally, he's about 5 feet from me, and it is Tiger Woods.
Nice.
So I wasn't as, like, I was pretty cool and be like, look at that jerk. But then as he got closer, my response was, Tiger, 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 hey, Tiger, Tiger. So that was my response. And did he sign?
Yes.
I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say no, because you would have told us about this.
Yes.
Oh, see? Nah. You're ruined. Well,
a Tiger's kind of known to be a kind of a prick anyways, just yeah. saying.
Well, Tiger
tell us the story. I'm on the ledge here.
Tiger was 4 feet from me. I even took a couple pictures of him after I knew I wasn't going to get his autograph. And he got in the little rented BMW and drove himself off to the golf course.
Damn.
But I did not have anything for Tiger. So I would have had him sign my baseball hat or something. But I guess it comes to do your research, as we say. but more so, just be prepared for something that you would never expect. Nobody had any confirmation that Tiger Woods is at any other hotel, so why not that one?
You know what could help you out in that situation? Rackers.com. If you had Rackers.com cards handy, you would be fine. I don't know if they have golf, though. I don't know if they have
golf. It's good for the IPer, too.
Yeah, it's perfect for IPers.
Came in handy at that time.
Right.
Yeah, I still don't think he would have batted an eye, but he didn't even look over me. I think I said his name like 13 times. He didn't look over once, so I tried.
He was in game mode.
You win some, you lose some. Let's move on to Just the Tip, and I'm going to take over Just the Tip this week, and I'm going to talk about handwriting TTM paper. And you're like, ooh, how exciting. We're going to talk about paper. I typed TTMs the last 3-4 months. I've seen a mild decline in returns, and through talking to people and interviews on Autograph Weekly, I've decided to switch back to handwriting TTMs. And with doing that, I've adjusted a couple of things. One of the major things I've adjusted is the paper I use. I noticed when I wrote TTMs, I used a full sheet of paper, and I usually got about halfway through the piece of paper, and the whole bottom of it was blank. It looked like crap. I would usually try to fill it up with thanks for reading or something like that, wrote in real big letters. But I was thinking, okay, I'm only using half the paper. I could just cut the piece of paper in half. So that's what I did. I have a paper slicer. They're like $11 at Walmart. Cut the piece of paper in half and wrote on that and filled up the entire sheet of paper. It looks great when I send it off. Looks full. You want to try to keep TTMs brief. Unless it's somebody who's known for not signing a hard sign, then you want to make it a little bit longer to add the extra oomph in there. But usually you try to keep it brief with a lot of details. So this has been working out superb with me. My new return rate is a lot better than it was before. And I've actually posted a video over at our YouTube channel, youtube.com/autographweekly. Just look for the Just a Tip segment entitled, I think, TTM Paper or something like that. And watch that video. I show you exactly what I'm talking about on that. I think it's going to help out quite a few TTMers. Time for the weekly giveaway. Last week we gave away Rackers cards, 2 packs of 25 cards. And the winner is... Fake drum roll. Oh,
drum roll.
That was 2 drum rolls. Oh, well. The winner is Jonathan Havilas. I think I'm saying that right. I'm probably butchering it. But Jonathan Havilas, congratulations. You are the winner of 2 packs of 25 Rackers cards. Please contact us, and we'll get those out to you ASAP. This week, up for grabs is a Steve Odenkirk signed 4x6. If you guys saw the movie Kung Pao, Steve Odenkirk actually wrote, directed, I think produced that movie. He also directed Ace Ventura, When Nature Calls. Very cool autograph to get. That's Steve Odenkirk. To win that, all you have to do is go over to our Facebook page at facebook.com/autographweekly and post the keyword that was hidden in today's show. Take it, post it on Facebook. Simple. You're entered to win the giveaway. All right, we did have, sadly, 2 deaths this week in the celebrity world. We had Michael Clark Duncan, who was most well-known for The Green Mile, sadly passed away at a very young age. And also Art Modell passed away. So if you guys have any autographs from those two guys, please post those autographs on our Facebook page. Again, it's facebook.com/autographweekly as kind of a tribute to those guys. Also, guys, check out autographweekly.com. That's where everything comes together from Autograph Weekly. You got the polls, you got the news, you got the projects we're working on, and AW Extra. Everything's there, autographweekly.com. Also, guys, we are starting a new podcast network. So this is a calling out to all you collectors, no matter what you collect. Please contact us if you're interested in hosting a podcast of your own. It's kind of a golden opportunity for those people who are well-versed in their hobby and are pretty good on the microphone. Also, writeastar.com is my private address website. Go check it out. And Identify Your Autographs on Facebook is a Facebook group dedicated to identifying the autographs that you have. Everybody has unknown autographs in their collection. What you do is you post a picture of that unknown autograph, and we as a community, and me especially, try to figure out whose autograph that is so you can identify it. And StacyShaffer.com, guys. I know Stacy's not here to promote himself, so I'm going to promote him. Stacy posts all the stuff he gets in TTM. He has several polls and stuff up on his website. Very cool site, StacyShaffer.com. And
also check out theautographboss.com. I do post my, when I do get stuff in, I do try to post it on my website. That's autographboss.com. Also, with the new project coming up for Autograph Weekly, it's called, I think it's called Project Hit the Deck. Is that what
we're going with? Project Hit the Deck. I think that's what we've decided.
Project Hit the Deck. Basically, I created a separate section for that. You can see mine, Zane's, and Stacy's returns when those come in. I'll post it to the website, and they'll be like slideshows, so you can keep up to date with that, and I'll do that stuff daily as I do with everything else. So
that's
autographboss.com.
Autographboss.com, theautographboss.com, and I will say the layout that you have for that project that we're doing on AW Extra is awesome. So you guys definitely go check that out, especially next week when I'm sure we'll have certain returns plugged in for that. All right. B-Mart?
All right. So I got my website, which is bmartsautographs.weebly.com. No apostrophe in that. I'm going to be actually starting like a semi-daily blog about just autograph stuff in general, my thoughts about stuff, just because I'm liking blogging. Also check out my Twitter, at bmart702. And I'm going to start posting more stuff about autographs there and just stuff in general on my thoughts. And what about you, Mike?
All right. Well, I got themikecane.com, Kane with a K, .com. I definitely try to at least a weekly blog, maybe a couple times a week, with any IPing that I'm doing. The next couple weeks is going to be real busy with the likes of, you know, Larry David, Danny McBride, John Hamm, Art Garfunkel, the Yankees. So I'm going to be busy for the next 2 weeks, all filled. So check out the website and see how I do.
All right, Sid?
All right, my website, www.sidsautographs.webs.com. Check it out.
Awesome. Also, check us out on Twitter at twitter.com/autographweekly, Facebook at facebook.com/autographweekly, and for the love of God, go to iTunes, subscribe, rate, and comment. It boosts our ratings. Yes, we know there's no iTunes picture right now in the iTunes store. I'm trying to fix it. I'm with Squarespace every day trying to fix the photo problem, so hopefully that'll get fixed soon. Got my fingers crossed. All right, guys, I'm Zane Savage, and you take care, all of you autograph addicts.
Thank you for listening to Autograph Weekly. Visit autographweekly.com for news, tips, and contact information.